This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Wednesday afternoon, March 20th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Sports memorabilia is the fastest growing category for auction companies. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the start of March Madness can be a rallying point for workers. We welcome in Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. And what a difference to decades makes, because back in the first decade of the 2000s, there were the annual tradition before the start of the tournament was the annual tallying up of how many millions or billions of dollars in lost productivity businesses would experience during that first round of the tournament. CBS, in their first kind of foray into streaming, had something called a boss button that would allow you to minimize the games if one of your superiors was walking past. And now, Rick, it could be a good team-building activity.
Yeah, at the right company, your boss button might flip your brackets up instead of the work that you're doing. You know, this is a tremendous opportunity for organizations. You think about what's going on in modern business. We have five distinct generations, which are almost on parity in terms of the percentage in the workforce in major companies. So you have a lot of people that don't have that much in common. Now we have this both a combination of work from home and hybrid work environments. So you also have that. You have the flattening out of the pyramids in companies so that there are fewer people doing the work, more of that supported by technology. And then what that really leads to is a lot of companies where people don't know each other in the companies in which they work. If you're in human resources and you don't interface with operations, you're in operations, you don't interface with accounting, you don't know those people. This is a chance for companies to embrace it and get everybody to get together, meet each other, know who they are when they're walking down the hallway, and have some friendly teasing and fun.
And especially now, I mean, we're 4 years removed from the start of work from home, and most offices are back 3 days out of the week. And if you're a younger employee, if you're new to the organization, like you said, this is an opportunity to meet people that you've never actually met in person. You've only you've only experienced them via a Zoom window or a phone call.
Yeah, and it crosses status boundaries. You know, I could tell you that if the CEO and somebody in the production room are tied for first in the first round of the bracket, there's going to be some chatter back and forth, and it's going to be positive and fun, but that means that they're going to know each other. And those positive experiences with senior management, with people in departments where you've always sort of had this opinion, this bias, your biases are always best overcome by a personal experience, which makes that bias a lie.
Is this also a situation where the NCAA tournament has become such a huge deal that trying to stop people from engaging with it and following it, especially on the first and second days of the tournament, is almost like trying to reverse the flow of the Chicago River with a measuring cup?
I don't want to try either one of them, but I would say, you know, it's easier to target this event than it is the individuals playing Candy Crush or Solitaire or whatever else they're doing when they're not working. We spend a lot of time at work. 80% of the population spends more time with their coworkers than they do with their family members. So rather than make that an awkward or divisive environment, why not endorse an opportunity to connect everybody better, to have them more allied and more familiar with each other? It makes the entire work environment a more positive space.
Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, an auction of memorabilia featuring items from all-time sports superstars.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Legendary auction house Sotheby's is holding its annual Sports Week with a series of upcoming events. Let's discuss the explosion of interest in sports memorabilia with Stephen Fischler, CEO of ComicConnect.com and Metropolis Comics in New York. And Stephen, your firm also deals with sports collectibles. So tell us a little bit about how the sports collectibles auction marketplace has evolved over the years.
Well, I think that you have obviously an interest in sports, you know, basketball, football, baseball, that has been, you know, a century old and more. And collectors, beyond appreciating being the fans, realized for a long, long time ago that the uniforms, the autographs, the bats, the balls, the jerseys, you know, were there to be bought. And it's really a way for collectors worldwide to be able to buy a blue chip name. In the world of stocks, it's IBM and it's Apple. In the world of sports, it's obviously a Tom Brady, a Muhammad Ali, a Joe Namath, a Babe Ruth. And I think that there is an interest in buying these rare collectibles that are created from these people playing these sports. And I think it's a natural progression in that this has become a very, very big business of buying and selling sports collectibles and verified sports collectibles. And I think it's very vibrant market.
Are there particular sports or particular athletes who have their memorabilia goes for a higher price because they are more international names? I mean, for example, the NBA has an international footprint. So do Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant pieces of memorabilia, does that go for a higher price when compared to, say, someone from the NFL where American football is more of an American phenomenon?
I think you're entirely correct in that basketball has become an international sport, to an extent baseball as well. And when you bring in populations from Asia and you bring in populations from South America and from Europe, the party gets bigger, the amount of fans get bigger, the interest gets bigger. And so it really is a worldwide market as opposed to a domestic market for some of the sports memorabilia.
Now, the evolution of the marketplace in sports memorabilia, I would imagine that you have, once an athlete is determined to be at the top of his or her field, people are starting to hold on to things with an eye towards selling it one day on the collector's marketplace versus Babe Ruth memorabilia or a Honus Wagner baseball card, the kind of stuff that you would find in an attic somewhere from a long-lost relative. If you're trying to sell Kobe Bryant merchandise, you've been holding on to this stuff since 1998, knowing it's going to be valuable one day.
Oh, absolutely. I think that these items, like a Babe Ruth uniform or a Joe DiMaggio uniform or a Joe Namath uniform, always had a great sentimental purpose in the distant past. It was only, let's say, in the last 15, 20 years that people have begun to recognize that there's an actual market, and the prices have exploded simply because you have a combination of collectors joining the market, the marketing ability of the auction houses in realizing that these things are very, very collectible have come to bear. So it's a lot of different, factors all combining into making sports memorabilia. It's not just the player. It's not just the manufacturer of the item, let's say the company that produced the jersey. It's really a sort of a group effort. And I think what you have now is an explosion of prices because of that group effort.
Stephen Fischler, CEO of ComicConnect.com and Metropolis Comics in New York, thank you for joining us today to talk about the sports memorabilia marketplace. Coming up next on this Personal Finance Wednesday, the role of politics in investing.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, and in this segment, we're focusing on the separation of politics and investing with Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch. Watchtalk.com, based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And of course, in Illinois, yesterday it was the Illinois primary, and even though the presidential race was essentially settled, hundreds of thousands of people turned out to vote for or against Joe Biden or Donald Trump in the respective presidential nominating contests. And although, Mark, things seem fairly low-key right now, the intensity and the partisanship is certainly going to ramp up between now and November and reach a fever pitch in the fall. But it's very important to not let your political beliefs get in the way of your money-making strategies.
You're absolutely right about that. Indeed, in a recent column, I quoted some data that showed just how polarized we are. It turns out that if you're a Republican right now, you think the economy is in terrible shape. And if you're a Democrat, you think the economy is in very good shape. And if you go back exactly 4 years ago when a Republican was in the White House, of course, it was almost exactly the opposite. It was at that point, Republicans were about twice as optimistic as Democrats, as according to the Consumer Sentiment Index that the University of Michigan publishes. And so it's a complete flip-flop. And it turns out over time, it goes like that. If your party is in your own party is in power, you think things are great. And if it's not in power, then you think things are terrible. So you don't really have much objectivity at all.
And that level of partisanship, Mark, is also really weighing on the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. It's no longer as useful a tool because people do perceive their economic success through the lens of whoever's in the White House at a given moment.
You're absolutely right. And indeed, I think statisticians are poring over the data right now to try to figure out how to tweak their models in order to take that into account, because we're not really getting a true sense of how the consumer feels.
So what are some ways in which partisanship can really lead you astray when it comes to investing decisions? There's all this talk about red state and blue state divides, but on this show, the most important color is green. And how can you make sure that that your politics do not get in the way of your investing strategy?
Well, I think the answer is straightforward, but actually implementing it is very difficult because it means you have to end up conversing and talking with people of the opposite political opinion, something that very few of us are doing these days. But it turns out, I quoted some research, which is fascinating. It found out that mutual funds whose management teams had both Democrats and Republicans on the team did better on average than those that were Democrat only or Republican only. So, and insofar as they were able to surmise what was going on, it turns out that the ones with a more diverse team tend to be more flexible. They were able to see nuance in a better way. And so I'd say that if you're in your silo only, looking at just the internet and making your investment decisions, you're likely to be letting your political beliefs affect your investment decisions, and that's a bad idea.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead on this Personal Finance Wednesday, performing a spring sweep of your money matters.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Voters in Chicago failed to back a measure involving the city's property tax and the homeless community. A tough immigration law in Texas once again tied up in court. It's Personal Finance Wednesday, and it's time for a spring cleaning of your investment portfolio. The cost of auto insurance is soaring. We'll discuss what's behind the increase. WBBM Business. The markets are lower, slightly. The Dow is down 7.5 points. The NASDAQ is down 14. The S&P 500 is down 4. AccuWeather says for the rest of today, sunny but blustery conditions, a high of 42, rather breezy. The AccuWeather real feel temperature is in the 20s. We have 38 degrees right now at O'Hare under mostly sunny skies. North wind 18 miles an hour, gusting to 25. Driving wind chills in the 20s. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, the much-discussed Bring Chicago Home referendum has apparently failed to resonate with voters. The details from WBBM political editor Craig Delamore.
Back when Illinois voters soundly rejected the graduated income tax in 2020, the city of Chicago voted for the measure. But this time, when advocates for the homeless proposed raising a tax on the sale of million-dollar-plus homes to help the unhoused, it seemed to be headed for defeat. Mayor Johnson was the biggest proponent, and Elmhurst University political science expert Constance Mixon says that may have been a problem.
I really think that Mayor Johnson was on the ballot tonight with Bring Chicago Home. It was really a referendum on the Johnson administration. You know, do people trust Johnson? Are they happy with where the administration is going?
In fact, opponents of Bring Chicago Home made Johnson the focus of their campaign. Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
The controversial Texas law letting local and state police officers arrest and detain persons suspected of crossing into the state illegally is once again on hold. The U.S. Supreme Court sent the legal arguments back to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which late last night reissued its own stay. More from CBS News correspondent Jan Crawford.
Migrant advocates say beyond the politics, SB 4 creates distrust rather than security.
When people in the local community are afraid that they can't call the police because the police might engage in immigration enforcement, they simply won't call the police.
The Mexican government says it won't accept any individuals deported by Texas judges. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Stocks are slightly lower today. Joining us with the latest and what's moving Wall Street is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. J.J., thank you for joining us today. And investors are merely treading water, waiting on what Jay Powell has to say about 30 minutes from now.
Yeah, right after your program ends, Rob. The Fed chair will come out and tell us what their decision is and then answer some questions. And I think, you know, obviously the probabilities of a rate hike here are pretty much near zero. And we're really just going to listen to what he has to say going forward. You know, Chairman Powell really hasn't wavered much in his statements. And if you think back to January, where he said we have a ways to go, we're encouraged, but not declaring victory. And I think that that will be a very similar statement he says today. The inflation's been a tough beast to tame, if you will. And some of it you may say is a good thing, because one of the things that's happening is the employment numbers are staying healthy, which is fantastic. But the bad part of that is, you know, we're just coming off some multi-month highs in terms of the price of crude oil, which, you know, your listeners are seeing at the gas pump, and some other commodities like corn, et cetera, where people are seeing that in their foodstuff prices.
And of course, if the Fed was going to announce a rate hike or a rate cut, it would have been telegraphed at this point because they do have a house organ, as it were, at the Wall Street Journal. And it probably would have been the paper last week if they were thinking about hiking or cutting. So it seems like the message, is, as far as rates are concerned, not this time, maybe next time, maybe June, when we could see the first rate cut. But there's also potential that when he talks to reporters, Jay Powell does later on, that he could potentially take June off the table. And that would probably lead to a sell-off this afternoon.
I think that that's a really great insight, Rob. I think if he takes June completely off the table, you will see a sell-off this afternoon. You know, the market really has been, if you think back, if we were talking 6 months ago, we would have been saying, oh, my God, in 2024, you're going to have, you know, five rate cuts, et cetera, as people thought three was an assurance and five was a high probability. Well, now we're saying, will there even be two this year? And so, you know, the game, as you said, changes quickly. I do have to give credit to Chairman Powell in one sense, and that is he's not necessarily a game player. He comes out and says how he feels, and his messages don't change a whole lot. We're going to see what the numbers tell us. We're going to go forward from there. But to your point, you look at what's going on in the bond market, and the bond market is telling us that the probabilities of rate cuts in June have certainly come down over the last month or so.
And once again, I mean, even though higher interest rates certainly are a drag, and if you're stuck paying for them in the form of a mortgage or a car loan or credit card rates, it's not a lot of fun. But at the same time, it's a sign that the economy is strong. And if the Fed felt the need to cut interest rates six times, then the economy would be on shaky footing.
Absolutely. And, you know, you and I have been around long enough where we remember where this rate area probably didn't look that outrageous. But for younger listeners, that doesn't mean much, as you said, especially if you're trying to get a mortgage right now or a car loan and you see where things were just a couple of years ago. What I would say to most people is, you know, if you're playing the rate game, it's a very difficult one to be right in. And so I guess the great thing about refinancing is if you get a mortgage at this rate and we do go down, you can always refinance at a lower rate as long as you can afford something right now. At the end, you know, we all would like some extra money in our pocket. But again, I think to say that you're going to wait until this happens or that happens is often a very difficult game to play from a financial standpoint.
J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, extending spring cleaning to the financial areas of your life.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, and it's a time of year for yard, garage, and other cleaning projects in and around the home, you know, spring cleaning. Some locations you shouldn't neglect include your banking and investment accounts. Let's get some direction from Taylor Tepper, lead banking editor for USA Today Blueprint in Austin, Texas. Taylor, thank you for joining us today. And when we talk about doing a spring cleaning of your portfolio, at what point in your life should you be more aggressive? And in what point in your life or savings goals should you be a little more laissez-faire about the state of your portfolio?
Well, no, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I think you can be more aggressive, I mean, in terms of your asset allocation is when you're younger, but you need to take sort of more care about your sort of withdrawals and distributions after when you get a little bit older. So that's sort of the general rule of thumb breakdown. But, you know, as you're saying, the spring is a great time to sort of get your day-to-day personal finances, you know, up to snuff. You may have been, you know, the hangover from Christmas and New Year's is over. It's a good time to sort of go over your budgets, go over your spending statements, maybe try a challenge or two to sort of enliven your spending goals and maybe have a little fun with it. So there's a whole lot of fun stuff you can do to sort of get control of your finances now that we're sort of getting closer to Easter.
Right. On the spring, this discussion of spring cleaning, I mean, of course, your thoughts turn to your retirement account or college savings accounts or your financial portfolio. But there's so much more that can be cleaned out, as it were. And this is income tax time. And I'm guessing one spring cleaning strategy would be to apply your income tax refund to some sort of debt reduction strategy.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing to do, especially now that interest rates are pretty high. So if you're carrying credit card debt, use that money. Don't get attached to it. Put it, you know, straight into paying down that credit card debt. If you've taken out an auto loan recently, maybe pay down that loan a little bit more. That way you can sort of free up some of your cash flow as it goes on. And yeah, so that's a wonderful thing to do this time of year. And you can also do other things too. You can put money towards a savings goal. You know, rates are high right now on the other end. So if you're not carrying any debt and you want to put that money towards maybe a vacation later in the year, or, you know, a couple nice nights out with your wife, like that is another option that you can do. You can sort of specifically earmark it for a savings goal later in the year and sort of enjoy it when you finally get there.
And then speaking of enjoyment, I like this idea, trying out a budgeting challenge, because, you know, all sorts of social media challenges. There are 30 days without X, Y, or Z, or trying to drink more water or something like that. Why not apply that that level of challenge to your financial life as well? So what are some interesting challenges you could embark on in the next 30 or 60 days?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You can try to spend everything in cash. That's like one very simple thing. It's hard to do because everything's so digital now, or even just with credit cards. But yeah, try spending as much as possible with cash. You know, research shows that if you spend with cash, you're less likely to spend as much as you would with your credit cards. And then sort of compare back month to month and see how much you spent less. So that's like one nice way to challenge yourself to spend a little bit less. Another option, you know, there's this envelope challenge where every day, you know, you number your envelopes 1 to 100 every day for, you know, over 3 months, I guess. You put a dollar amount that corresponds to the number in each envelope. At the end of the 100 days, you have like $5,000. That's another, you know, challenge that you can do. And the good thing about these challenges is whatever the challenge is, don't get too hung up on that. Just find something that sort of piques your interest. Because the benefit of this is it improves like financial self-efficacy, which is basically the feeling that you're in control of your finances. And that feeling is very important to have positive outcomes, you know, for the rest of your life.
Taylor Tepper, lead banking editor, USA Today Blueprint in Austin, Texas. Thank you for joining us today. Join us this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, auto insurance bills are taking a bigger bite out of budgets.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Personal Finance Wednesday rolls on. Your wheels are becoming increasingly expensive due to a steep rise in auto insurance rates. Let's check in with Robert Sinclair, spokesman for AAA in New York. Robert, thank you for joining us today. Auto insurance costs are rising at the fastest rate in 47 years. Robert, what is driving that increase?
To use that pun, there's a lot of crashes. We saw during the pandemic that people, the far fewer people were on the roads, but those that were on the roads were doing a lot of bad driving. And we saw a significant jump in the number of crashes that were happening, number of fatalities. As a result, in 2019, 36,000 roughly died, but that number jumped to 38,000 in 2020 and peaked at more than 42,000 in both 2021 and 2022. And the causes of these crashes have to do with speeding, with driving without seatbelts, driving impaired by alcohol, and more of these days, marijuana, and distracted driving. And that speeding, that's the really bad one, because the faster you go, the more you overwhelm the ability of the vehicle to protect you in a crash, and it winds up causing more bodily injuries, and those injuries cost more. As well as those crashes at higher speeds.
I still had to drive to downtown Chicago even during the depths of the shutdown in 2020. And I told a story last week about being passed on the Kennedy Expressway northwest of Chicago by someone who was driving so fast my ears popped. Some clearly some bad habits set in, but it's been about 3 years since the traffic patterns, pre-pandemic traffic patterns returned, and yet there's still a lot of lead feet on the roads just because of that short period of time in 2020.
Yeah, those bad habits that were developed during the pandemic unfortunately have continued, and now inflation as a result of supply chain problems is kicking in. We know that people are suffering as far as the rent and food are concerned, but also it costs more for the parts that are being used to fix your vehicle, and also it costs more if you go to the hospital for your body to be fixed. So all these things are contributing when you figure also that there is a distinct lack of technicians available these days to work on vehicles. That plays into it as well. I've heard a lot of stories of diesel and gasoline technicians being paid upwards of $150,000 and $200,000 a year. So if your mom, if you're thinking of sending your kid to college, you know, send them to auto technician school instead. And also the inflation is playing into fraud, where a lot of that is happening. And also the proliferation of ADAS technology, these advanced driver assistance systems, are playing into it. These sensors and servos and different technologies are more expensive to repair. It could take a simple repair that might have been $1,500 maybe 5 or 10 years ago, and that's going to be $3,000 or $4,000 now because of all these technologies on the vehicle.
And then very quickly, Robert, what are some ways that you can lessen the sting of the increase in auto insurance rates?
Well, you should shop around. You know, talk to an insurance company that's going to take into account all your assets, your driving style, what have you. You might think about having a higher deductible in your insurance policy. You'll pay less per month. If you do have a claim, it'll cost you more, but most people don't make claims. And shop around. Look for these different companies that do bundling, that type of thing. Car insurance, home insurance, renter's insurance, all these things combined can help save you money.
Robert Sinclair, spokesman for AAA in New York, thank you for joining us today. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.